Okay, it's Greg Morgan here. Provincial parks, I think, are going to be busy this weekend. Lots of extra things to do when you visit a park this weekend because it's Saskatchewan Day on Monday, and they've got a few surprises. But I also want to check about campsite availability and talk a little about fire bans. I'm joined now by Robin Campezzi from Sas Parks. Welcome back to the show, Robin.
Thanks, Greg.
Saskatchewan Day, long weekend. How are Sas Parks embracing the big day?
Oh, lots to see and do this weekend in our provincial parks. And I'm happy to report there is a little bit of availability in some of our parks as well. I'll get started, though, with what's happening. In and around Regina, we have some great programming happening at Echo Valley. They'll host a sunset paddle. They have night caching, a scenic hike on Monday. Rowans will have geocaching, a gnome hunt, a family bingo night, and birds of a feather program. And Buffalo Pound will have a haunted hike, craft club, and a teddy bear picnic.
So all of those are pretty close proximity to Regina to get out and enjoy Saskatchewan Day. Has Sas Parks seen the month of July that we just got through here successful?
Yeah, July was great. I mean, we do have a park, like one whole park closed, right? So that affects what our occupancy is looking like compared to last year. But July was very, very busy in all the parks that were open. It was a great, great July. People took advantage.
What parks seem to be the most popular right now?
You know, the usual ones that you would expect. Good Spirit. Cypress Hills is always a busy destination, although there is a little bit of room this weekend. Those are some of the big ones. Duck Mountain is always popular for people for kind of those longer term stays.
You mentioned one of the parks being closed, obviously because of wildfires. What's the situation on fire bans this long weekend?
Yeah, we have fire restrictions in 11 parks and rec sites. Looking at the list, it's a lot of the northern park, so northeast, northwest, but you can bring your CSA-approved self-contained heat, gas heating or cooking devices. Those are permitted. So you're not without a fire fully. They just have to be the self-contained CSA-approved.
Let's jump ahead. We're into August this long weekend, so what sort of percentage of campsites are still available?
We're really booked up this weekend. We're getting close to 90% occupancy, which is great. We love that people are taking advantage of summer and soaking it all in. In and around Regina, very hard to find a park to camp at. Rowans is almost fully booked. Echo has a bit of room. Buffalo Pound is pretty much booked. But if we have some campers that are willing to go a little bit further out, Cypress has a little bit of availability. Danielson, and then more northern parks like Meadow Lake and Makla have sites available.
What's the easiest way to know that the park you're going to has a fire ban or not?
Yeah, if you head over to our website, sasparks.com, we'll have a full listing of the parks that are under a fire restriction at this time.
Summer's not over yet. We got a ways to go. How do you see the future of camping here? You got anything you're looking forward to this summer?
We have a full event calendar coming up here in August. We'll kick off with our summer cinemas, so that's the inflatable movie screens in the parks. New technology this year from our vendor, we're able to start those earlier. We weren't able to start them earlier previously because they didn't show, sort of project, unless it was dark, but they've embraced some new technology and we're able to start these when it's still daylight out. So I think families will really appreciate that. We have the Cannington Fair coming, Cabin Fever Art Festival coming up at Moose Mountain, which is one we've had for the last 4 or 5 years. Really, really exciting event that people really like to attend.
Robin Campezzi from Sas Parks. What about inflatable water parks? A lot of kids and families like those.
Absolutely. Those are really, really popular. Four of our parks right now. Those are at Blackstrap, Candle Lake, Duck Mountain, and Moose Mountain. Really family-friendly activity. I see moms, dads, kids taking advantage of those. And
that is an extra fee, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's an in-park lessee. So that's an in-park business that we work with. And so they do have a fee for those.
Well, I hate to say it, Robin, the days are getting a little shorter. The end of park season isn't really close, but it's near. What do you want everyone to know?
It is near. So if you're thinking about camping this season, it's very easy. Just go online, book that site or glamping dome or cabin. No matter what your preference is, we'd love to see you. As we get closer to mid-August, there's a lot of availability for campsites across the park system. So, and it's a great time to camp then. The parks are quieter, but the weather usually stays nice for those beach or boat days. And we would love to have you.
Thanks, Robin.
Thanks, Greg.
A beautiful day. It's already starting to shape up nicely. We're going to be soaring up to 29 today, and it's the long weekend. And wouldn't you know it, the price of gas seems to be up everywhere. I noticed on my drive to work here this morning, 138.9 at most of the stations I pass by. Joining me now is Andrew Shepherd from the 980 CJME Newsroom. I was telling you, Shep went to the X last night and immediately Jen and I went for the fair food. And I'm just going to say, Shep, I knew it was love with Jen when we both admitted last year at the X that, you know, those big root beer stands with the giant barrel?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We both thought as kids that that was full of root beer.
And the, that's where it was. Standing and it just out, came from there.
Yeah, yeah, tapped it from the barrel. I don't know. All my youth, I believed.
Wait, you're
the
telling
root
me
beer
it's not?
In those barrels, but I never saw them change the barrel. So, but yeah, Bloomin' Onion, couple of beer, $50.
That's a bloomin' high price.
$10, got some donuts as we walked out about an hour later. But kids had fun, that's for sure. Are you going to the X or are you taking a pass? Just enjoying your new backyard there
with
the new deck?
Yeah, we got a new deck built. I'm gonna enjoy that. I'm going to spend the
cheaper.
Weekend there. Yeah.
Yeah, cheaper.
So we had our first dinner, cooked some burgers up last night. Got a nice pergola up.
Well, for the price of a Bloomin' Onion, you could buy a dozen beers. So, but the X is great, though, I will say. Sure, it's smaller, not as many food offerings, but if you're looking for a few thrill rides, the Midway definitely has them for sure. Terrafor, it's on.
Yeah, no deal yet with the U.S., so that deadline's passed, and Trump signed an executive order raising the 25% tariffs now to 35%. Now, this is on goods that are not covered by the Canada-U.S.-Mexico agreement. That's in addition to the 50% tariffs on steel and aluminum. And while issuing all this, Trump says he's once again accusing Canada of failing to cooperate and stopping the flow of fentanyl. Prime Minister Mark Carney issued a statement on social media last night saying that only 1% of fentanyl imports into the U.S. Come from Canada, but they are still trying to reduce that. They've done some work with the fentanyl czar and other legislation around the border recently. We're getting reaction in Saskatchewan, APAS, saying that they do not want retaliatory tariffs from Canada to this, saying that that'll just make things worse. But you hear other politicians like Ontario Premier Doug Ford.
Hit him.
Asking Carney, hit him hard, 50% tariffs on U.S. steel and aluminum. He says now is not the time to roll over. And then you got groups like CFIB representing small businesses saying, you know, no deal is almost just as bad as a bad deal. More uncertainty, you know, how long will these tariffs be in place? What will the eventual deal be once that changes again? It's just kind of more the same.
A lot of posturing
changing.
Going on. Yeah. You know, Canada is one of their biggest trading partners. Trump needs a win. I've seen nothing but frameworks. He says, oh, we've got deals done, but you don't really see anything on paper. Maybe the European Union went to a degree, but
Mexico got a 90-day extension to get their trade deal, but not us.
They need Canada as much as we need them. And Trump needs a big win, and he's going to call Canada a big win when it does happen. I just think there's a lot of posturing. That's just my personal opinion right now, but hey. I did check. I was curious, but I found that the White House did say the 10% tariff on Canadian energy and potash does not change with that 35%. But, all right, Shep, let's move on here a little. You know what? Once we get through the fair, when I was a little kid, I used to think, oh, summer's over. The fair's leaving town. Now I got to worry about back-to-school supplies. You're worried about what the city's doing for students when they go back to school with city transit.
Well, there are new rules for kids on the city bus starting on Tuesday after the long weekend. Those 13 and under, you'll have to show a bus pass to use it if you're not with an adult. If you're with an adult that's paying, then it's free. It still is free even if you're not with an adult as a kid, but kids must first go to the headquarters and prove their age, showing an ID, and then you get this bus pass. So you have to show a pass. It's still free. You just need to get show ID to get it.
Okay. Thank you, Shep. Appreciate you popping by from the 980 CJME newsroom. Still to come, we, of course, will examine the riders hitting the road to Montreal. Calgary lost last night. So again, the riders have an opportunity. They haven't won a Montreal in 4 years, but an opportunity to put a little more breathing space between them if they could pull off a win tomorrow. Belton Johnson joins me. Why did I say it with a Southern drawl? I'm not Southern. He is. Belton Johnson will join me next hour for a look and his take on the big game Saturday night at 5. City X entry day 3. The weather is going to be fine. Friday evening is no doubt going to be a lot busier. A lot of people tend to take work off work early and maybe make supper plans at the fair. And That's where fair food, always a hot topic. You tell us what you love and don't like.
My favorite fair food, the deep fried ice cream. Oddly enough, it's still frozen on the inside, crispy on the outside.
A corn dog.
I would say the caramel apples and those curly potatoes on a stick.
You got to have those mini donuts, the ones that they fry right in front of you.
It's like a deep fried big onion smothered in like everything.
Maybe not too many corn dogs and definitely stay away from the deep fried pickle or whatever.
Well, I'll tell you what, we had the Bloomin' Onion ourselves last night at the X. We went and experienced it. And I think I'm going to be very honest here. Here's my assessment of the fair this year. The fair food offerings are definitely slimmer than last year. It's very noticeable. We came off the Alphonsine entrance by the stadium there, and normally in years past, you just see a wall on both sides of food stand after food stand. I don't even think I saw a slice of pizza for sale last night. I could be wrong, but I don't think I did. There's a root beer stand, then a poutine stand there. Oh, another root beer stand. Oh, another poutine. And then I think I saw the corn dog stand, a couple of donut stands. Anyhow, we did make our way to the Bloomin' Onion, and that's where we paid $25. Thought we'd wander over to the nearby beer garden in Confederation Park there. The band was playing. A couple of beer, another $25. So 50 right off the hop there in less than 10 minutes. $10 for the donuts on the way out of the park. I'm not counting the cash the kids needed for food and rides either, but my daughter, out with her bestie last night, left behind to ride the Midway, and then I went to pick her up and her friend, and she gave me this assessment. I said, what'd you think of the Midway this year? She said, you know what? It was just okay. Biggest complaint was how long the lineups were to get on the rides. In some cases, 45 minutes. And that was my observation, too, earlier on the Midway. We got there about 4:30. That was the first thing we noticed. You can see that almost every ride on the Midway had only one attendant working. And, that Himalaya, the one where they go, you want to go faster? There's only one guy working. The lineup was mega. He's having to scan every ticket before you get into the ride by himself. Then he walks around the circumference of the ride to make sure everyone's bar is down once everyone's in. Oops, there's room for two more. Waves two more people. But he's already gone back to the booth, so they sit down. Then he has to unlock all the bars. Then he has to go back and check all the bars are down. Hey, safety first. I'm all for that. But this guy must have put on 20,000 steps just in the 5 minutes it took to do all of that by himself. And the lineup was only getting longer. So, hey, West Coast Amusements looks great. Freshly painted. It looked clean, but clearly they probably needed a little more personnel from what I saw last night. And given that was early, in the evening, and my daughter was still saying when I picked her up about 9 o'clock, said they only got on a couple of rides because the lines were so long. That's where I saw the biggest slack in the Midway. And yes, the Midway does look smaller. There's no Crazy Mouse roller coaster. There's no giant wheel. There's no log ride. It is a smaller footprint. But the rides they do have, I thought, were all the thrillers that you probably needed to have a good time. And I like the guy that operates West Coast Amusements. We heard from him earlier in the week. And he says, hey, we're investing for the future, too. This is a long-term contract. So it'll get better. And I'm sure a lot of Midway fans hope it gets better here, too. But it's not horrible by no means. You're still going to get your thrills. But it's a smaller Midway and fair and food. I just think it is. Hey, yesterday I had Mayor Chad Baczynski on the show, and I was teasing him a little about the Queen City X and his experiences. I was trying to get him to do his impression of that guy working the Midway who screams, do you want to go faster? Mayor's was pretty weak.
Do you want to go faster?
You'd be a lousy carny.
I would be a lousy carny. Those are professionals. These guys do this every day.
What's the one ride that you would like to ride with the rest of your city council?
Oh man, back in the day, the Fireball was one of my favorites. So one of the swinging ones. I think I saw some guys on that. There was a pretty good swinging ride I saw out there. So that's probably the one I'd go on. I think it fits everybody too.
One last question. The best thing about the X is?
Community. I think it brings so many people together with food and music and all the things that I think Regina loves to get together and celebrate.
Riding the ride.
How was the X?
Well, I gave my little review It's expensive. It's pricey, but who doesn't know that before going in, right?
Did you ride the rides, though?
Did not. Wandered through the Midway. Enjoyed. I always enjoy wandering. I'm a kid at heart. That was a big deal to me when I was a kid. To go to the X, it was magical.
I remember Mom and Dad used to drag us through the exhibit buildings to look at the exhibits. Does that even exist anymore?
Well, I know. There's a little history of the X in photos. But, you know, it was almost kind of like going through a little market of, you know, toys and stuff. No, there's no exhibits those days. It's very minimal. And the Midway is a little smaller. I gave the review there. I'm not trying to dump on the Rail District. They're working with, you know, clearly, though, losing North American Midway. That's a big loss.
Is that a loss forever or just this year?
Yeah, no, West Coast, they said it right here on this show. And to me, it's West Coast all the way. But what I like about West Coast is they're not trying to blow this up like, you know, we know what we're doing. We're better.
Mm-hmm.
They've pretty much admitted, hey, we're going to invest for the future. This is a meaningful contract with the Rail District. And they're investing millions of dollars into future rides. And they want them. They know what they have.
Friends of mine had their kids at the exhibition last night. And the two feedback pieces they came back with was it seemed cleaner.
But
the lineups were longer at the rides.
They need more people working the rides.
Yeah.
I mentioned that earlier. It was a bit of a problem. So what's your weekend plan here? How will you celebrate Saskatchewan Day? If you could go anywhere in Saskatchewan to celebrate, what would you like?
Let me tell you. In fact, I haven't even said this to Jody, but I think I want to go to Mooseman.
No kidding.
Mooseman
does.
What's going on there? They do every year this Land of the Living Skies, so they've got a fireworks competition going on both Saturday and Sunday night in the Mooseman Regional Park. They've got live music. They've got food trucks. They've got an open market. And then they've got like a long fireworks demonstration. It's like a competition basically that goes on there.
Well, I would have thought you would have said the all-you-can-eat buffet at KFC in Estevan or something.
Well,
for Saskatchewan.
I mean, it's kind of an indirect way to Mooseman, but
I think that there's a lot of people that don't even recognize why we have this as a long weekend. I don't think as many people know it's Saskatchewan Day.
Yeah,
it's just another long weekend, I think, to a lot of people. So it's nice to recognize Mooseman as you have.
Well, exactly.
Ron Morgan, my dad, was born there.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and then quickly to Regina, they got him the hell out of town.
there's so much to do in the province. We'll probably go out to the lake. I know you said you're probably heading out to Pasqua this weekend.
Yeah. I'll be on
good
the lake
weekend for that.
In the pontoon. having a nice afternoon. Okay, so coming up on your show here today, I know the tariff war, if you want to call it that, between Canada and the U.S., escalated a little touch.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if really Canada could have done anything to avoid this because we saw Trump throw them on last night. Calendar hadn't even flipped to August 1st, and he signed the order saying 35%. Now it's kind of like the chess move is in our court.
Yeah.
We'll see what we do. I think not overreacting is the way to go. I know Doug Ford from Ontario is putting the boxing gloves on.
Yeah,
he wants to
50%
fight.
50% now.
He wants to fight. But so we'll see. I've got Warren Kinsella right off the start of the show, so that's where we'll start.
Trump
today did
make this comment. Listen to him here yesterday. It's posturing again over Carney remarks. Listen to this.
You know, I didn't like what they said, but, you know, that's their not a deal breaker. But we haven't spoken to Canada today. He's called. And we'll see.
It's not a deal breaker, he said there. He was posturing over Carney's remarks to recognize a Palestinian state there. It's just bluster.
But I like how he said he called. You know, it's like he looked
at
his cell phone.
Sure.
Looked at his cell phone. Yeah, I'll take that later.
Riders, who are you picking to win?
I'm picking the Riders. It's going to be a close game, but we got to break this 4-year curse. We haven't won in Montreal for 4 years, so I'm saying 21-20. Close game.
You're going a little higher, 27-25.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I'd like to, obviously, the Riders. We're top of the league right now, Greg.
Okay, stop talking.
Are you
I'm
feeling
out of time.
Excited?
Have a great long weekend.
You too, buddy.
It's almost 7:30. Bye, Evan Bray.
Bye,
see
Greg.
You at 8:30.